You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, brand builders. Nick Westergaard here. This week, we have something a little different for you. Recently, I was asked to do a reading of my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small, at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Prairie Lights is something of a literary institution, both here in the region and beyond. I was delighted to read from my book and answer a few questions. Thought it'd be fun to share the audio from this event as a special live episode, which is what we're doing. Next week, we'll be back with a full-length brand builder interview just for you. In the meantime, enjoy this week's special episode with a reading from Get Scrappy and a few questions answered. You can also learn more at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Nick Westergaard is a contributor to the Harvard Business Review and host of the Popular On Brand podcast. He teaches and is on the advisory council of the Marketing Institute at the Tippie College of Business. He is the organizer and host of the Social Brand Forum and a mentor at the Iowa Startup Accelerator. He lives in Coralville. We're very happy to have him here tonight. Nick Westergaard.
Good evening and welcome. So this is exciting. As the bio said, I do a lot of marketing in a lot of different ways. I run a business. I also teach at the University of Iowa, and over the past year and a half, I started this process of writing a book. And in thinking about what to read and answering some questions, I thought probably the smartest place to start out in reading would be the introduction to the book that kind of explains some of the backstory to that. So that's where I'm going to start with the introduction, and then I'd love to open it up for questions that you have after that. So, do I really need another marketing book? This was probably going through your head when you saw this book. Our shelves are bursting at the seams with marketing books for one simple reason. This is an exciting time to be in marketing. The internet, social media, and content marketing have forever changed the way we build brands and market our organizations. These shifts have reset the playing field to the advantages of businesses big and small. And yet, it's also a frustrating time to be in marketing, as we struggle to keep up and overcome obstacles. While many understand the potential unleashed by these digital shifts, few are truly prepared for it. The internet has changed how we plan, staff, manage, and measure our marketing. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and for many businesses, resources are minimal. We understand the why behind these marketing shifts. What many marketers struggle with is the how. How will all of this get done in a meaningful manner with the resources we have? This book is for the marketers who want to get stuff done. As a brand strategist, keynote speaker, and college educator, I help thousands of marketers every year, from small businesses to the Fortune 500 to the President's Jobs Council, from seasoned marketing pros to marketing students, from the plains of the Midwest to cities in Europe. And they all struggle with the same challenges, the same ones you're facing. To paraphrase Charles Dickens, it is the best of times, it is the worst of times. Dickens wasn't talking about marketing today, but he could have been. For marketers, this is the best of times. Technology has enabled new forms of media, such as Facebook and Twitter, which allow us to reach more people more economically and easily than ever before. We can build direct, personal relationships with our customers. We can help, inform, entertain, interact, and instruct. And, as a result, we can create enormous value on our own powerful platforms and channels. Now, we come to the worst of times. While we face many challenges, there are three main obstacles that stand in our way. 1. shiny new things. We're distracted by all of the shiny new things online. New channels, features, platforms, and networks are constantly coming at us. Ooh, shiny. What's your brand doing on Snapchat? How about that new Instagram feature? Or that awesome new platform that integrates all of your social media activity and makes you breakfast while it does all of this? Okay, so that last one isn't here yet, but you get the idea. The myth of big, the second obstacle. Budgets are tighter than ever. Only big brands with big budgets, big teams, and big technology can do big things with digital marketing today. Or so it feels sometimes. Dwarfed by this imagined competition, many end up collapsing into self-pity as they sigh, "Oh, that's cool, but we couldn't do that here." 3. Checklist marketing. This is when we focus on checking things off lists instead of on what makes the most sense. For fear of ending up in the boss's crosshairs because he saw a story about Facebook advertising on CNBC, many marketers take a checklist approach. Facebook, check. Twitter, check. LinkedIn group, yep. Instagram, got that too. Is any of it working? Awkward silence. Marketers have more opportunities than ever before. How do we capitalize on this unprecedented time in marketing history while maintaining our budgets and our sanity? Get scrappy. As you approach your marketing, don't get frustrated. Get scrappy instead. At this point, you may be asking, what is scrappy? Let's start with what scrappy isn't. Scrappy isn't marketing small. Scrappy isn't marketing on the cheap. And most importantly, scrappy isn't dumbing down your marketing. Merriam-Webster Collegiate defines scrappy as having an aggressive or determined spirit. My favorite definition comes from the Urban Dictionary, which defines scrappy as describing someone or something that appears dwarfed by a challenge, but more than compensates for seeming inadequacies through will, persistence, and heart. Ultimately, the size of your organization doesn't matter. Business to business versus business to consumer, nonprofit versus for-profit doesn't either. The local dry cleaner who does its own marketing can benefit from getting scrappy just as much as a marketer in a larger organization. As Samantha Herschel, who leads digital marketing at Pacific Cycle for brands like Schwinn, Kid Tracks, and Roadmaster, told me, "We all wish we had a few people and a few dollars more." Regardless of how different our organizations and brands may be, we all face the same hurdles that can be overcome with will, persistence, and heart. Tapping into that feistiness and edge of getting scrappy. Scrappy is doing more with less. Scrappy is a spirit determined to simplify marketing in today's complex digital world. Scrappy is thinking like an underdog, even if you aren't, with a winning and determined mindset. Let's explore that mindset a little further. If scrappiness is a state of mind that can be useful to anyone, any organization, large or small, what does it entail? And more importantly, how can you harness the power of scrappy to help you do more with less? To better understand how you can get scrappy with your marketing, let's explore the 3 core attributes that make up the scrappy mindset. 1. Brains before budget. Whether you're a marketing director at a Fortune 500 company, a nonprofit development director, or a one-person marketing department at a small business, we're all susceptible to the monetary implications of the myth of big. When you start to think about personnel, tools, and technology, digital marketing can get real expensive real fast. Remember, getting scrappy is more than just being cheap. Scrappy also isn't about dumbing down your marketing and saving your brain cells. In fact, getting scrappy is about using more of your brain to help you do more with less. That's why a key tenet of the scrappy mindset is putting your brains before your budget. To do more with less, you need to first define what it is you're doing. All of this thinking doesn't stop once your marketing strategy is approved, either. You need to continue to look for smarter ways around the challenges you face. When you get scrappy, you start to see the value that you can harness from your internal team, your community of customers, and other unexpected sources. 2. Market like a mousetrap. As the famous saying often credited to Ralph Waldo Emerson goes, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a bath to your door. And yet, despite the fact that Inventors each year for nearly a century have gotten patents for supposedly improved versions. These paths remain unbeaten, as nothing has proved more useful than the simple spring-loaded bar mousetrap invented by William C. Hooker of Abington, Illinois. That's because the mousetrap is both effective. My family lives in a rambling old house. It's the kind of old house that has character. It's also the kind of house that mice love when it cools off in the fall. Like now. While working in my home office, I occasionally hear little squeaks and scratches from inside my wall. However, there's no cause for alarm, as I've set several Victor mouse traps throughout the house. If there's a mouse, it won't be around for long. The mouse trap is effective. And you can't beat the price. At most stores, a couple dollars buys you a pack of two traps or more. The mouse trap is efficient. Like the mousetrap, to get scrappy with your marketing, you have to be both effective and efficient. To be effective, your objective has to be clearly defined first. The trap's objective is pretty obvious, so that you know when your job is done. Efficiency provides the best construct for a more scrappy relationship with money. Being efficient is more than just being cheap. You've still met your desired objective. You've just done so with minimal expense. 3. See ideas everywhere. Jeremy Gouchet, innovation expert, best-selling author, and CEO of Trend Hunter, says that we're currently in a period of history's highest rate of change. It's not just the new things, it's the pace of change. That's why marketers often turn to case studies to help make sense of this ever-changing world. While case studies can be useful, sometimes we focus so intently on how different our own business is that we miss out on valuable insights from unexpected sources. Stay open to ideas from outside your industry. Oh, that's a B2C idea. We're B2B. That won't work here. Or perhaps, oh, that's too businessy. We're a nonprofit and things are so different for us. Many times, you can have an even greater impact because it's an approach that's not often taken in your industry. Cloud computing giant Salesforce developed an app that allowed fans to create custom Valentine's e-cards to share via social media. Wait, isn't Valentine's Day a consumer-focused holiday? Isn't Salesforce a B2B company? Maybe, but they had some fun and stood out in a big way by daring to think beyond their own sector stereotypes. Technology is moving too fast for you to be confined by the proven ideas in your industry. To stay ahead, you have to collect insights and ideas from beyond your specific niche and industry. In the heyday of the direct mail era, marketers kept physical files of mailers they liked for future ideas that they could swipe. The scrappy marketer knows to keep a digital swipe file. Trade the file folder for Google Docs or Evernote. For useful ideas from a variety of sources. Disclosure. Not every case study in this book is from a business just like yours, but I promise there's something you can learn from each and every example. If you need some encouragement, think of Saturday Night Live's Stuart Smalley. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, you can steal this marketing idea and make it work for you. Okay, so I just adapted that last part a bit, but I was making something from another industry work for me. To get scrappy, you need to remember to put your brains before your budget, market like a mousetrap, and see ideas everywhere. Then, and only then, can you start doing more with less. More isn't always better. Sometimes it's just more. By embracing this mindset, you can get scrappy with your marketing, as others are already doing at organizations big and small. Remember all those marketing books I mentioned earlier? Too many examine the why behind these shifts without focusing on the how. Confession. My name is Nick, and I am a book addict. My office is packed full of bookcases and book stacks. However, there's one characteristic that unites the books that sit closest to my desk. All are ragged, dog-eared, and chock full of notes. In picking them up, you may find a broken spine where the book flops open to a certain page, or a cover that's on the verge of falling off. That's because these books serve as consistent reference points in my day-to-day life as a marketer. The best books not only teach you a philosophy for thinking about your work, they also arm you with tools and systems to go forth and do that work. My goal with Get Scrappy is to create a valuable resource for you. I hope you break the spine, dog-ear the pages, and write in the margins, like you would the valuable handbook or trusty guide. The challenges you face as a marketer are both strategic and tactical, both big picture and boots on the ground. You need guiding philosophies as well as practical how-tos. That's why I've organized this book into three parts. Scrappy marketers look before they leap. Part one focuses on the smart steps you can't skip if you want to properly ground your marketing. Having a solid strategy in place is the only way to see past all of the shiny new things in our digital world. Part two is about doing the work, specifically how you can do more with less and overcome the myth of big. Finally, in part three, it's time to measure, manage, and most importantly, simplify, making your efforts leaner, meaner, and more effective and efficient for the long haul. Then and only then can you avoid checklist marketing and target your precious resources on what matters most. Throughout this process, you'll need to remember the value in seeing ideas everywhere, identifying the ideas you can potentially adapt from outside your industry. As this book aims to be practical and tactical, each chapter will conclude with next steps to help you start applying these concepts in your marketing. Remember, I want you to make notes in the book. A useful handbook should be a little banged up and scribbled in. At the end, you'll find an appendix featuring a handy reference guide or scrappy summary, a list of further reading, and discussion questions for helping you share these ideas with your coworker, classroom, or reading group. Get Scrappy will help you demystify digital marketing in a way that makes sense for your business, ground your marketing with strategy that lays a foundation for action, build a strong brand with something to say, employ social media and content as part of your brand's marketing mix, integrate digital and non-digital marketing touchpoints in a meaningful way. The result is a reliable, repeatable system for reinventing your marketing as marketing reinvents itself. Now, are you ready to get scrappy? So that was my prepared scrappy portion that I think, again, kind of answers the big question, hopefully answers the big question of why I wrote the book. But I'm happy to take questions you have about it, whether that's about the marketing ideas contained within it, or just about the process of writing a book.
Nick, I could start with one.
Yeah.
How does one show heart?
How does one show heart? You started with an easy one, which is good. I think it's easy to kind of round the sharp edges out of our ideas and personality. I mean, I think it's a tricky needle to thread because every day, as I see students that I've had in class, we talk so much about being safe and about not offending. And I'm not saying, so go offend and that's how you show heart. But sometimes that comes at the expense of showing any sort of personality. In the book, I talk a lot about brand voice early on and making sure that you are someone that stands for something, because I think that that's one thing that is, I call part one of the book, Smart Steps You Can't Skip. And the first chapter contained in that is called The Brand Behind the Megaphone, which is making sure that in this fast-paced digital era that we're not skipping over, making sure that we actually have a brand that has some personality to it.
Choosing, taking a stand of some kind, and revealing your personality through that.
Yeah, and I think knowing what your brand stands for, and I do think that a brand voice is an important piece of that. It's kind of a parallel to the writing side of things, but it sounds trite, especially anyone that's an educator, to say, writing's one of the most important, but if you look at any form of marketing that we're creating, from a 140-character tweet to a 140-page ebook, everything's writing. And I think that not only is everything writing, but we have more people in our businesses responsible for it. It used to be if you had a 30-second ad, you sent that out to, you know, whatever ad agency was working on that for you. And now You know, maybe that's an internal team that manages your social media. Maybe the agency is still doing those 30-second ads. Maybe you have customer service people that are responding to tweets coming in. All of it needs to sound like the same entity. So I think a big step in HART is not only having that personality, but demonstrating it consistently.
Question? Hi, Nick. First time listener.
There we go.
How did you apply the principles you outlined in your book to the promotion of the book?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you asked that. The other piece of that is, as an author, as most will tell you, publishers are great at printing things on paper and getting it distributed into great bookstores like Prairie Lights here, but the marketing is largely left up to the author. So in that case, it is handy to be a marketing author as opposed to a travel one, though that sounds a little more glamorous and fun. But that is obviously a big marketing project, and you know, the book's brand was very important too. The one unheard of thing that I think is a big piece of the marketing, because I was just reading Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, and you know, the fallacy that we don't judge books by their cover, but we totally do, was that they asked us for cover ideas, and the one they ended up with is actually one that our team designed, which is kind of unheard of in the business, and since that is really a centerpiece of the book marketing and the book's brand, that was a big win. But we also incentivized bulk purchases. So you want a lot of books early on, so we did a pre-order campaign that was available on the website that we then promoted pretty loudly. Also, the other handy part about being a marketing author that is, again, a nice advantage to have, is I'm a friend of a lot of other marketing authors who, you know, I could, because I've done the same for them, because they usually send out an all call when they have a book out and say, hey, here's a link where I want to send people, here's a few important things to point out, I'd appreciate your help. So definitely there's some very scrappy little things in terms of, as I talk about in the second part of the book about specifically about doing more with less, one is there's a whole chapter called Embracing Your People Power, and that's really a very big part of it. So obviously that was the influencer circle, friends and family circle, clients, really just who is a human that I know. I feel like I've been apologizing for most of the people that I know in the real world when I do see them, because I feel like all of the Nick on social media is pretty noisy on the book front. But that's what you have to do.
What would you say is the most cognizant you see from small businesses making from a marketing aspect?
Good question. And I do a lot of speaking, and that is probably the biggest question that I get. So I know the answer, and it's trying to do everything. It's that checklist marketing thing that I think we look at websites and we see all of the social media icons tiled on there. So we think, oh, you have to do something on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest because I should have them all there. That means I'm doing it right. And I think especially for smaller organizations, I'd rather do one or two things really well at like 90-100% instead of doing about five things at 30-40%. So I would avoid that. But that's harder because you do have to do some thinking about what am I really trying to do and where's the best place to reach those people.
So would you say that your book is solely for people who are just starting out and beginning in marketing and trying to spread out their brand, or could someone with, say, several years of experience still find valuable information in your book and advice?
I am such a great marketer that I think my book is really for everybody. That's a bad joke. I would like to sell it to everybody, but truthfully, that's a good question and one that I think when we think about scrappy, it sounds only small. only small businesses, only entrepreneurial beginning. And actually, in talking with the publisher, that was early on, they're like, oh, so that's what this is. And I said, oh, not necessarily, because as someone that has worked in larger organizations and works with organizations that are clients, there's a lot of challenges that we have. And like that quote that I read from Samantha at Schwinn, which, I mean, I bet most of us either have ridden a Schwinn, had a Schwinn, parents had Schwinns, kids have Schwinns. It's a brand that's everywhere, and it'd be easy to think that they just have tons of resources that they're throwing at their digital marketing. And it's funny that the radio listeners won't realize, but our audience here is bigger than their marketing team. They just have a few people on that. As Samantha, that I quoted in there, said, you know, all of us in any... And most marketers that you talk to, even at a big organization, will say exactly what she said, that we could all use a few people or a few dollars more. Nobody has all of the marketing resources that they want. We all need to make it go further. And because of all the shiny new things, it can feel like we have more to do and less to do it with. So I think small businesses and startups might more readily find it and find its message appealing, but I think that there's usefulness in it that larger teams can employ. And back to Mike's question about the pre-order incentives, and you know, I've had a lot of teams from larger organizations, you know, we bought this for our marketing department, we're all reading it. So,
thank you.
More questions or comments?
So I had a question about the inspiration for the book. You said that you had a lot of authors and a lot of particular books that you go to all the time. But how does experiential learning fit into your inspiration for the book?
Experiential learning is in teaching it or doing the stuff and then writing about it?
Probably more so doing the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest compliment I've gotten from people about the book have been other marketers that have said, this is helpful, this is about actually doing something. Because I think you usually find more, I tried to write something in the middle, which is a dangerous place to aim for, but usually you find like heavy-duty theory books that this is kind of navel-gazing, philosophical, non-application focused, or you find, you know, the four dummies checklist of here's what you do, here's how you do it. And I tried to write something in the middle of that that is, here is a different approach, different way of looking at all of this, and here's a framework for putting that into place. Because that, to me, I guess, is an important part of my personal brand in anywhere, as a consultant helping businesses, as a teacher in the classroom, as a speaker, beyond just doing that, I think I'm always a marketer first. I'm someone that does this stuff and has ended up writing, speaking, and teaching about it because I like doing that. But I think I like the work, so to me, I think any book, and I would say the same thing of a talk that I give too. I mean, there you can give a keynote and keep it up in the clouds, but I think at the end of the day, someone has to leave with something. The old consultant saying that after meeting with me, reading, or speaking, hopefully you know something that you didn't know before. Your condition has improved. You can go do something a little bit differently, a little bit better.
Questions or comments for Nick?
Harry is my son and writes things himself. Do you have any questions? Or I was working on it secretly at home. I guess not so secretly. Anything that comes to mind that with it going on under your roof?
What about the audiobook, Nick?
Good question, Harry. I'm glad you asked. There is an audiobook that was harder to record than I thought it was, but I got to read it myself, so that's my University of Iowa theater BA and vocal training coming into practice. But it was hard, but it was a lot of fun. But that's actually, I can get that back to writing process too. That is, you know, Mike also has a blog that has taken off, and we started our blogs around the same time, but I think in sharing notes on how we started writing things, one that I know I've always used, even in writing shorter blog posts or bigger books, is I do go back through and read it aloud, because I think it sounds more useful, hopefully. So that's a writing tip I guess I have.
Any other questions or comments for Nick? If not, the book is Get Scrappy. Let's thank Nick Westergaard.
Thank you very much.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.